There needs to be daily huddles between SPD and OR looking at the schedule for the coming days. And any questions in terms of a case needs to be addressed prior to the day of surgery or prior to the day of picking the case so that those things are resolved ahead of time.
Every day, they slay the dragons of healthcare-acquired infections and dangerous microbial fire breathers. While you may not see them during your next hospital stay, they will be there ensuring the safest possible surgeries by skillfully wielding their disinfecting weapons of mass microbial destruction. They are sterile processing professionals. And this is Beyond Clean, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the global sterile processing industry forward. Join us every week as we introduce you to the unsung heroes, leaders, and innovators who are fighting dirty around the globe. And now, it's time to go Beyond Clean.
This week on Beyond Clean, we speak with Paul Wafer, president of Alpha Consulting Group, Incorporated. Paul has worked in the perioperative setting for over 40 years. He has held many perioperative roles, starting his career as an OR orderly, scheduler, staff nurse, business manager, and director. He has also held the role of CNE, COO, and CEO in the hospital setting. For the last 15 years, Paul has been president of Alpha Consulting Group, focusing strictly on all aspects of the perioperative continuum. Paul has done comprehensive assessments of perioperative improvement projects in both large and small hospitals across the U.S. Paul's focus is to ensure the synchronous delivery of care by looking at the key elements that impact the potential for errors, delays, and outcomes during surgery, and his passion is to ensure that hospitals establish productivity levels that will maintain excellent patient care, staff education, and retention while still providing for hospital profitability. While many find this a dichotomy, he believes that with good data and consistent processes, this can be achieved. Paul also works with both high-volume and low-volume surgery departments to help them balance workload and efficiency through best practices in block scheduling. And so Paul's really bringing a great deal of experience to the table for this episode of Beyond Clean, Hank. And I know we're going to focus on efficiency and mostly from the SPD perspective, but I can tell you he's got a lot more to give in future episodes as well, because there is just such a broad perspective from all levels of the hospital that he's bringing to the table.
Yeah, you know, Justin, Paul is actually one of my industry mentors, and I know this interview is not going to be about mentorship, but I'm excited to let the audience, you know, hear from a guy that I tremendously respect and I've seen in action in the hospital setting, how he really approaches every situation in the perioperative context from one of educating and building collaboration around improving the process, ultimately for patient safety. And so I'm just looking forward to talking to my friend and also, you know, learning along the way about efficient processes in the OR and sterile processing.
HealthMark has intelligent solutions for your cleaning verification program, including products to measure water temperature, water quality, cleaning efficacy, and directly test for residual soil left on instruments. Find your tools for cleaning verification at hmark.com. There you will learn about our TOSI and SonoCheck that test the performance of mechanical washers as recommended in sterilization standards guidelines. Other products like CartWash Check test for mechanical efficiency and target temperature. The ProCheck 2 can detect residual protein to a very low level. Go to hmark.com today for all of your cleaning verification testing needs. Are you ready for AIMI ST-108 released in 2023? Evoqua Water Technologies can help you prepare. Our water experts participated in the development of the new standard and understand the impact medical device reprocessing has on patient safety. Evoqua offers water purification systems specifically designed to help sterile processing departments meet the critical water requirements and strict standards of AMI ST-108. With locations across the United States, we stand by ready to help you with your sterile processing water needs so you can focus on your core priority, patient safety. Contact Evoqua today for a site audit and ST-108 guidance. Visit www.evoqua.com/beyondclean to learn more. That's evoqua.com/beyondclean.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Paul Wafer, president of Alpha Consulting Group Incorporated. And Paul, we've known you for quite a while, Hank longer than me, but we're very excited to have you on the show for your very first appearance. And you've got a broad perspective. We've had a number of conferences recently that have focused on interdisciplinary care for patients and really throughout surgical services. And now we're going to talk to you today about efficiency in the perioperative environment, but specifically from an SPD perspective. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Glad to be here. It's about time you guys got me on this show.
It's long overdue. I think you're right. We've done maybe 100 or so episodes, so definitely remiss we didn't have you on sooner. And I know you've been doing this project with AORN around perioperative efficiency. So maybe you could just talk to us a little bit about how that got started, maybe a little bit about your discussions on efficiency related to SPD.
Sure. I'd be glad to do that. Well, originally, back in 2011, they decided to put together a toolkit for perioperative management members, directors, managers, to help them focus on efficiency and safety. You know, for as long as I've been in the OR, which is about 40 years, one of the biggest issues that we face from the surgeons is turnover time and on-time starts. What we were trying to do is identify barriers to efficient starting in the beginning of the day and efficient turnover between cases. So there was about 8 or 9 members on the team, and we focused on all the aspects from the point of scheduling surgery all the way through until the patient is discharged postoperatively to the floor or to home. Then this year, we were asked to, myself and one of the other original team members, Pat Muse, was asked to review the toolkit and update it. So I spent the last few months going through updating the toolkit and developing a updated model of efficiency, highlighting the key areas which start with the governance of the perioperative program, and then the 3 key departments that are involved in efficiency, and that is the operating room, the peri-anesthesia department, and the reason why we're here tonight, sterile processing.
Yeah, so on that sterile processing topic, Paul, and you know, for those folks who don't know, you and I have been on a number of collaborative consulting projects together where we're going into these hospitals, and oftentimes it's because of this efficiency topic, right? And yep. I'm always struck by the number of teams that are not looking at this opportunity from that holistic perspective that you mentioned. You know, they're looking either only in their operating room to find efficiencies, and they're trying to get all those pieces together, or if it's coming in from the sterile processing side, they're looking internal and they're trying to develop an efficient process in SPD absent anything outside. So I'm wondering, though, you know, for you coming from that heavily perioperative background, can you speak to the audience about why operating room leaders and staff care or should care and have a vested interest in their sterile processing also being as efficient as their operating room?
Well, you know, for years, this has been my mantra, that the SPD department is a key member of the perioperative team, and you can't ignore it. And part of what you and I do when we go in and do these assessments and implementation projects is to educate the higher-ups that this is so important to help create the efficiency. When I talk about parallel processes, you know, it really starts at the very beginning when a case is scheduled. That, you know, if a case isn't scheduled correctly, then they're not going to be prepared properly in the operating room, and sterile processing isn't going to pick the right items for the case cart. So, I mean, it's a key issue. But in a broader sense, I think the thing you have to look at is, what is the communication and how does the OR communicate with SPD? Are they the people downstairs, or are they a member of the team? And I always encourage the perioperative directors to include SPD in their staff meetings, because there's so many things that need to be addressed collaboratively, and frequently that doesn't happen. And it makes it a lot easier to point fingers at the other department when you don't know the people well or communicate with them on another basis.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, the scheduling challenge, and, you know, I know one of the other big challenges that comes out of these consulting projects, and I'm sure that you addressed it in this project and through the toolkit, is the challenges in preparing the operating room itself, like that step in that process. So what were some key highlights, you know, from the toolkit that came out of preparing that operating room well? And if you could, you know, speak to the implications of that, what part sterile processing plays in the OR room being set up correctly?
Well, there's a few elements to this. The first one is the basic equipment that belongs in an operating room. How many IV poles, how many Mayo stands, how many back tables, etc. And most ORs need to have all ORs need to have a list of what the standard equipment is in an operating room. And somebody's got to be checking that on a daily basis before they start their day so that they know that all those things are there. I mean, just having to go out of the room and track down an IV pole can create a delay in starting the case. In addition to that, having the equipment and the case cart staged right outside of the operating room so that when the team arrives to set up for the case, everything is there for them. Now, there's a couple of different ways you can look at this. One of the things that I like to do is identify a core tech, or if it's a larger facility, multiple core techs who have responsibility for ensuring that the case carts are complete and right outside of the room. And in some organizations, they may also be responsible for making sure the other equipment is there and ready to go so that the circulator and the scrub person can bring those things into the room and get the cases started. You know, but the key thing is making sure that the assignment is made and we know who the person is that's responsible for that so that we can hold them accountable and make sure that it gets done right.
Yeah, and it's not just getting prepared and setting up for the case, but then you've got to get the room turned over and you've got to get everything out of there and get it set up. What are some of the key highlights from your project in that regard, and specifically with, you know, SPD's role in that turnover as well?
Well, in that regard, I think there's a number of things. Number one, the case carts need to be staged for the to follow cases as well. One of the key issues that I like to see is that those case carts are in some way monitored and or locked in a way so that you don't get pilfering from those carts from people in another room. Somebody drops something and they don't want to run somewhere else to pick up an item and they see it on a case cart, guess what? It gets taken, and then when you're starting your case, you don't have it. So you really want to make sure that the carts are monitored, and or I like those little tearaway locks that are used on crash carts to make sure that they're complete, making sure that the preference lists are accurate and updated on a routine basis so that you're not running around for items. Things like who's going to pick the sutures for the case? Is that going to be done by the SPD technician or core technician, or is that going to be done by the scrub tech? And then, of course, the medications need to be picked by the nurse in the room. But all those other little odds and ends, who's responsible for it? There's many ORs that we go to where the supplies and trays are mixed between the OR and the sterile processing area. And what I've seen in many places is the stuff that's down in SPD is picked by the SPD department, and then the case cart's sent up to the OR, and the OR personnel are responsible for picking the rest of the cart. To me, that makes no sense, because typically when that happens, the staff is picking those things at the last minute. There are delays. They can't find it. It all needs to be picked by one individual, the core tech or the SPD tech that's responsible for the day of picking those carts. All that helps to improve the turnover time and make sure that things go as planned.
Yeah, we just love how you're really talking about the day-to-day, right? This is what people are living who are listening to these episodes. Another hot topic is point of use, and sterile processing is not as connected to that. It's not something that, you know, they can just hop in there and do it. And I wondered, is there a way for sterile processing to engage in that or help the OR, you know, be consistent with it? Or maybe there's another area that you've identified that, you know, causes a breakdown in doing point of use, because we have seen, especially with those really long orthopedic cases, you know, you're going to get some pitting, you're going to get some dried blood if that process isn't really adhered to.
Well, absolutely. You know, that's another one of those things where we always seem to find issues with people who are maintaining their back table during the case, ensuring that they're keeping their instruments wiped clean during the case and not waiting until the end. And then at the end of the case, making sure that they have properly sprayed their instruments with enzymatic foam or other solution, and or at least putting wet towels over the instruments so that they don't dry up. You know, another thing that I just thought of that I think is important in terms of one of the issues between the OR and SPD in this regard, it has to do with communication. One of the things I found is lots of times the descriptor on a preference list or in the supply list that SPD uses is the descriptor from the materials management department. For example, in the OR, a radio opaque 4x4, lots of places will call it a Raytech sponge because that's what they grew up with when they were, you know, the brand name for it. It's like Kleenex versus tissue. Down in SPD, the description might be sponge 4x4 radio opaque, and the SPD person may not know when they ask for a Raytech what that is. So this is one of those things that where it requires some good planning between the OR and materials and SPD to make sure that there are common name descriptors along with the material descriptor on the preference list, and so that either both names are available or that both areas are using the same name.
Yeah, huge, huge impact to efficiency, Paul. Like you, I think if we're stating the problem, right, and looking at it, you know, from a practical standpoint, as you alluded to, like you get phone calls down to sterile processing and perhaps that case is already delayed or they're already getting started. They're not delayed yet, you know, but then they're calling down asking for something that's not labeled consistently across the two services, as you mentioned, or even back to your point about it starts at how the case is booked a completely wrong case card is sent up, and then everyone's scrambling to fill a totally new preference card, right? And those phone calls, you know, start back and forth. And so all of that just slows down the process, and the ripple effect, you know, goes out from there. And it's interesting. I was thinking as you were talking about the point of use question that Justin brought up is if we miss the point of use prep, and those instruments get dried and they come into decontam, well, that process then takes longer, right? It just waterfalls.
And it better not be instruments that are required for a rapid turnover for another case that day, you know, right. Because another point on that is identifying those trays that are required for a rapid turnover. How do they do that? You know, they may not have an instrument management system. So, you know, having some kind of a visual cue for that, either a card on the case card or some method of color coding the trays when they come back down so that they know that they need to be rapidly turned around. But let's go back to scheduling for a minute, because you were talking about the case card being the wrong one. Well, that goes back to how another issue in terms of communication. There needs to be daily huddles between SPD and OR looking at the schedule for the coming days. Any questions in terms of a case needs to be addressed prior to the day of surgery or prior to the day of picking the case so that those things are resolved ahead of time. You know, especially like in areas like orthopedics where it could be a ORIF of a radius. Well, there might be a card for an ORIF of a radius, but what are they going to fixate the bone with? Are they going to do a rod? Is it going to be plate and screws? You know, all those things have to be clarified, and sometimes the scheduler in the physician's office doesn't know. So those things have to be asked and answered prior to picking that case.
And that's one of the reasons, honestly, that I'm a huge advocate, and they're called by many names. I like to call them an OR liaison who is employed in the sterile processing department, but actually spends the majority of their time in the operating room as that conduit for communication that you mentioned and that collaborative force who is thinking, you know, 24/7 about instrumentation, but thinking from the perspective of the operating room and ensuring, you know, that these kinds of things are proactively caught the day before so that we have time to prioritize and fix the problem instead of, you know, 7 a.m. we walk into the room and then someone finally realizes, oh, this is not the right one. So, yeah, there's a number of different opportunities from daily huddles and from how you do specialized staffing to really tackle that. I want to switch gears maybe a little bit here and talk about storage and organization around that. And I guess it's not really switching gears because we're already talking about case card building and supplying a request from the OR. But from your perspective, you know, what are some important considerations around efficiency in sterile storage and what that looks like?
Well, the way I look at it, I believe now, you know, as an OR person, OR nurses want to have everything right by them in case something falls on the ground. But I am a firm believer that the majority of the items need to be in the sterile processing area or in the case cart picking area if it's a large sterile core up in the operating room. It should be centralized as much as possible. If the CS department is on a different floor, then you may need to keep a few emergency items or a very low inventory of supplies and instruments up in the OR for if something gets dropped or if there's only one in the department, you might want to keep those available. But the majority should be downstairs or wherever the department is. Now, in terms of instrument storage, this is another pet peeve I have. Most of the OR management systems now have the capability of having a location code on every supply and on every instrument tray so that when the SPD folks are picking the case, they can get their pick ticket generated in sequence by location. This way, you're not going from aisle 2 to aisle 6, back to aisle 4, and back to aisle 2. You're going from aisle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, shelf 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's a much faster and better system. And if you have those location codes on the preference list, if it's the middle of the night and there's nobody staffing SPD in the middle of the night, the nurse knows where to go to find the item. I also think just organizing things in a logical way, keeping like specialties together wherever they can, makes sense, so that if for some reason they don't have the location code, at least they know it's in the orthopedic section or the orthopedic retractor section, and that way they can pick it. Does that make sense?
It does. I'll just add, you know, something that as a young sterile processing leader, right around the time when all these EMRs started flowing across the country in hospitals, I got frustrated because I saw what you're talking about is we're switching these programs and then the new out-of-the-package EMR just treated our sterile storage like an empty room. And so, like, we knew that all of our stuff was supposed to be in here somewhere, but there's no numbers or shelves associated with it. It was very, very frustrating because I knew that the technology could do it, but somewhere along the lines, you know, someone decided, well, that's not that important. But if you look at this, you know, from the perspective that you've been giving us, that if sterile processing cannot find the correct trays or cannot find the correct supplies quickly and efficiently, that rolls down into everything else, into your next surgical day, into incomplete case carts or incorrect case carts. It has that ripple effect that we've brought up a couple of times on this episode. It does. It's worth the IT time, whatever it takes to get those shelves and locations on the trays and on the pick tickets, you know, to give sterile processing the tools they need to be efficient.
And I'll tell you another thing that happens with that. When you're a brand new circulating nurse in an operating room and you have to go out and find something or call down to SPD to get something and they can't find it, and you've got a surgeon yelling at you saying, "Where is this item? I asked for it 10 minutes ago." It creates turnover in your staffing. You know, the more that you can do to make the case go smoothly, the more you're going to have a happy staff. And it's going to lead to a lot of positive feelings within the department when you have that efficiency. It's not just, you know, being able to find it. It's keeping staff and preventing burnout and preventing frustration, because you know, when we go into these hospitals and they're having problems and their surgeons are angry and they're complaining, and what are the things that we hear? Well, we're going to go down to the hospital down the street because they can turn their rooms over faster, or they're better at and more efficient than we are. So, you know, they think that they're saving money by not spending the time putting those that information into the computer system. Guess what? They're not.
Yeah, Paul, just everybody's attitudes at work, it always has an impact. And anything we can do to be efficient, streamlined, et cetera, it's just going to have an overall better feeling. Everybody's going to enjoy going to work. You'll even have less call-offs, like all of that, not just staff retention, but just call-offs and people showing up for work, mental health days, the whole thing. So what are some, as we're kind of wrapping this interview, what are some other recommendations for workflow efficiencies in sterile processing?
Well, I'll give you an example of something that I did at a hospital several years ago. It was a very busy hospital with a huge orthopedic practice, and their department was in disarray. The OR as well as the sterile processing department, there was a lot of issues between both areas. And what we did was we put together some performance improvement teams and got staff from both areas working together on these projects. Things like, okay, the sterile core area is disorganized. How can we straighten it up? What do we need to fix it? Do we need more bins? Do we need different labeling system. You guys work together, develop that plan, and bring it back to me so that we can take care of it. You know, how are you picking your case cards? You know, have a case card picking team. One of the little tricks that I usually recommend is on cases where it's a possible. For example, laparoscopic cholecystectomy, possible open cholecystectomy, possible cholangiograms. Well, you're not going to open everything for that case at the very beginning. You're going to have stuff available for an open, and you're going to have stuff available for a cholangiogram. And those should be in a separate bin in the case cart with possibly a inventory sheet on that. So if you have to take anything out of that, you can mark that off on the inventory sheet and just replace the item in that bin and keep it for the next possible cholecystectomy, because you're going to get them again. There's usually a lot of those. So, that, you know, things like that. Also, you know, in terms of the case card picking, one of the things that I'm a proponent of is to only pick the carts for the first and second case the night before and have somebody coming in early the next day to start picking the rest of the carts for the rest of the day to allow time for all the instrumentation to be reprocessed and put away so that your person isn't having to go back to the case cart three or four times to review the list and find the items that weren't ready earlier.
Paul, those are all great insights. Thanks for really just promoting that partnership between the OR and SPD throughout your career. And I know you've worked at many different levels, but the fact that you really care about that working well together is just very refreshing and a great attitude to have, especially for most of our audience that works in SPD. I think we all want those two departments to just be cohesive and work together. And that's not always the case, but your work here is fabulous. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Hopefully I can do it again sometime.
That was Paul Wafer, president of Alpha Consulting Group Incorporated. And Hank, Paul's been around, and he definitely knows this business. He knows it at multiple levels. And talking about efficiency throughout surgical services is great, but I think the thing that really just stood out to me is creating workflows that are conducive to having a healthy relationship between sterile processing and the operating room. Like, let's set them up for success was the message that I got from this interview today.
And I love the fact, you know, that there's a toolkit that's coming out of this conversation, right? So it's a trailer or a teaser, I guess, you know, for this episode. But what the real meat and the resources to perioperative leaders and sterile processing leaders is going to be these tangible resources and toolkit that you'll be able to review collaboratively as a surgical service team and say, how can we concretely improve this process together? And so I'm really looking forward to that, and I appreciate Paul spending his time with us on this episode.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. We'd appreciate a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Hank and myself, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Beyond Clean.